Breakthrough Entrepreneurship, the proven framework for building new businesses. Authors, John Bergstone and Bill Murphy Jr. The driving forces in entrepreneurship. You deeply want to become an extraordinary entrepreneur, but you don't know where to begin. You don't have enough money, or else you've got money, but you wouldn't feel right risking it. You're too young, or else you're too old, and the chances already passed you by. You can't seem to come up with the right idea. Or else, you're overwhelmed with ideas and you can't seem to settle on one. Even the most successful entrepreneurs have moments of self-doubt. It's only human. The question to be asked is, how can you join the ranks of extraordinary entrepreneurs? Practical steps towards successful entrepreneurship. Station 1. Idea generation and evaluation. Where do the best entrepreneurial ideas come from? How do you find ideas that take advantage of your unique ambitions, experience, and talents? Here are some tricks. Cross-pollination. Entrepreneurs rarely need to come up with an original idea completely out of the blue, often especially for the first-time entrepreneurs. It can be better to look for more incremental steps forward, or also try cross-pollinate two or more accepted ideas or insights. Culture-driven cross-pollination. If you don't see an obvious cross-pollination idea, sometimes the solution is to let the world do the cross-pollinating for you. Explore what trends are hot in other cultures, and see if they can be transported to where you live. New needs and niches. Another way to ride the coattails of other companies' proven business models is to segment their customers. Figure out which needs and niches they don't fill, and devise solutions. Station 2. Customer pains. People typically spend money on two things. First, they readily spend money to combat pain. Second, they spend money to pursue pleasure. We list pain and pleasure in that order for a reason. The more acute the pain or problem, the more likely it is you'll be able to offer a compelling solution. The more compelling the solution, the more quickly the customers will pay. From an entrepreneur's perspective, this means that it's often better to be in a pain business than a pleasure business. So look for the pain, then focus on healing. Station 3. Maximum information for minimum cost. You'll likely need to examine many promising ideas before you hit on one that you might be able to leverage to create a successful new entrepreneurial venture. So the goal should be to examine and discard the bad ideas quickly in favor of the good. How do you obtain the information you need? Here are five near-universal strategies to pursue. 1. Conduct interviews. 2. Ask experts. 3. Conduct focus groups. 4. Try to sell your product even before you've produced it. 5. Ask people to consider investing in your idea. Station 4. Competitive advantages, business models, and execution. Let's examine some of the most critical questions you should ask as you structure your thinking about business risk. Are there barriers to entry that can prevent competitors from moving into your market? Where competitors do exist, how intense is the competition? How likely is it that some other product or service will replace your industry entirely? How much bargaining power do your customers have over you? How much bargaining power do your suppliers have? The more you think about these competitive forces and how they affect the venture you're considering, the better. The more you use them to create advantages that keep your potential competitors from facing off against you, the better still. Here are some strategies to get you started. Forge key alliances. Find a big player who is in your particular market, team up with it, and use that alliance to build an advantage. Build a financial war chest. Finding investments can be difficult, but if you're armed with data about overcoming business and technical risk, you can attract all sorts of investors. Build a positive image. If you've truly found a great solution to a genuinely felt customer pain, people might want to hear from you even before you have a chance to launch your product. As a result, it can be possible to build great word of mouth even before you start. Recruit a great team. Look for people who actually get things done, not just those who are great at talking about concepts. First mover advantage. Many entrepreneurs primarily consider only one potential competitive advantage, first mover advantage, which is the ability to gain customers before any competitors enter the market. In theory, this is a fine strategy, but pragmatically, it can be very expensive and it can conflict with the idea of gaining maximum information for minimum cost. Station 5. Building credibility. There are 6 methods people can use to persuade others of just about anything. 1. Reciprocity. People are more likely to offer to do something if they feel like they're returning a small favor or repaying a debt. So, as an entrepreneur, be the one who offers to help people even when there's no obvious or guaranteed way they'll be able to help you in return. 2. Consistency. People respect others who honor their commitments, so arrive on time. Meet your milestones, come through on small promises, and you'll be in a better position when you start asking customers for larger commitments. 3. Social proof. The more people who use your product or service and who are likely to talk about it, the better. 4. Authority. Much as customers look to peers for advice on what pre-cuts and services to buy, they also look to authority. So try to become the expert or authority in your field. If you can't do that immediately, borrow authority by recruiting other figures to endorse your product. 5. Likeability. The more that people personally like or are attracted to a persuader, the more likely they are to comply with a request, so be genuine and likable. A true entrepreneur believes he or she is honored to help customers solve their pain. 6. Scarcity. People want what they can't have. Additionally, people are often indecisive. You can force their hands a bit by demonstrating that if they don't move now, they might lose out forever. So you can limit the number of products sold, or else consider raising prices instead of discounting. Station 6. Learning to lead. Let's think about two of the major paths that you can choose to follow. The first is a relatively decentralized approach to leading people and managing resources that we'll refer to here as an empowering leader. The second is a much more centralized and controlling approach, which we'll refer to here as an assertive leader. In ventures of all sizes and at all stages, empowering leaders take stock of the breadth and depth of the talent they've assembled. They remind themselves that nobody knows all the answers, and they seek to lead by building consensus and squeezing every bit of knowledge, wisdom, and drive possible out of the people in their team. An assertive leader, on the other hand, starts by laying out his or her vision and insisting that people he or she is attracted to the venture adhere to the goals, and even the methods, that the leader expects. Learning to expect and achieve more. You are entitled to succeed, but you have to train yourself to believe that you will do so. We suppose some entrepreneurs believe this naturally, or they convince themselves with sheer drive and willpower. Honestly though, that seems like an awful lot of work, and it's not necessarily a replicable strategy. Instead, we think it makes more sense to plan ahead and put in place the supports you'll need along the way. Any giant goal can seem overwhelming, so break up the things you'll have to achieve as an entrepreneur into small steps. How do you do that? You've got the roadmap in your hands.